RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
We're going to take a deeper dive now into the UK farmers' protest last week, how the government there is offering incentives for farmers to switch land from food production to uses that are not commercially viable and won't secure the country's food supply. Benicia Carpenter is a farmer's daughter and member of Feed the UK, an organisation concerned that government incentives are encouraging farmers to take land out of food production, along with increasingly restrictive legislation undermining the UK's ability to maintain self-sufficiency in food. Benicia, welcome to our program. Thanks for beaming in from the UK.
Thank you very much. Can I just make a slight correction? Feed the UK, I'm not actually... we did have a website. We do have a a Telegram forum running called Feed the UK, but that is just a discussion forum. But I am involved in various farming forums, including that one. So some more active than others.
Right. I understand. Can you give us a bit of history, your family's involvement in farming, please?
Yes. I can go, physically sort of from contact, we can go back to the beginning of the 1800s as having been in farming. But we've also found ourselves in a post office book. I think the post office was set up about 1660s, and our name came up as farmers back in at that time as well. Wow. So we've got a long, long history of the family being involved in farming. Pretty much the same on both sides of my family, my mother's and my father's. That's my father's side. But since then, I mean, more recent. How far back do you want me to go? I mean, I could talk for hours just
We're just after King Henry VIII. So I think it's probably far enough back. So it's in your blood. It's in your blood, right?
Unfortunately, I think it probably is, yes. I grew up on a farm. My father was a mixed farmer, which is very common when I was young. There were more mixed farms around. And as time has gone on, due to various government initiatives, they've sort of encouraged farmers to go away from mixed farming and to monoculture. And my family have sort of moved with that. My father's now died. My brothers still own farms, so farming. I've got cousins all over the place farming, some doing better than others, but most of them, I have to say, struggling big time now. For example, I've got two cousins who've got a dairy farm, 100 acres, where my mother was actually brought up, incidentally. That's my mother's side. And they are making a loss every day, and they really don't know what to do, whether to carry on, whether to just give up and throw the towel in. I've got bigger farms with cousins who've got several thousand acres, monoculture, grow cereals. They've harvested their crop, but because of all the costs, they really don't know. You know, they've still got the crop in storage and are basically trying to get a price to cover the costs, let alone make a profit. Wow. So they haven't actually sold it. So it doesn't matter what size of farm, you know, these are my personal experiences. It doesn't matter what size the farm is, they're all being impacted by the various different government policies and the country situation generally.
Why do you think there's such hostility, because that's what it sounds like in the end, towards farmers?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? If you want to believe all the conspiracy theorists, then the idea is to destroy farming as it is, get it taken over by big companies who do more not the type of farming we've got now.
Industrial-scale farming.
Industrial farming, that's the word, yes. You can see that is the way, you know, whether that's the plan or not. And I think a lot of people, even farmers, are beginning to wake up to the fact that things aren't quite right. And it's actually going in that direction.
there has to be some explanation when, you know, a course of culture is changed this much so quickly and it involves food production. You've got to ask the hard questions. Why is this happening? I'm thinking.
Yeah, you have. And that's why so many people are asking questions now. As you know, we've had the demonstration in London last week. But there are various people sort of asking questions who weren't asking questions before. But we're not really getting the answers. I mean, what was interesting was the latest blow, real blow to farmers, obviously, in the UK is the inheritance tax.
Yeah.
Which the government claims will only impact 30% of farms, if that, the big farms, and the 70% will be untouched. But then other figures, like the DEFRA, their own Department of Environment and Food, they actually coming out with pretty much the opposite statistics. That's another government department. So they're not even getting their facts straight within the government itself. What was I going to say? Forgotten my plan. Can you run me the question
again?
Well,
the inheritance tax on top of all the other things.
Yes,
headwinds
tax.
For farmers. It's like the ultimate kind of stake in the heart, isn't it? We want to reduce you to the point where you can't make money, and then when you have to sell up, we want to take your money.
Yeah. I mean, what's really bad about inheritance tax, so farmland is actually a valuable commodity now, yep. Valuable. So farmers actually are sitting on land that they need to use to grow food. They bring in inheritance tax, which is, but the way the stats are coming out is actually not, the government itself is, I don't know, misleading with the stats. They're saying that it's over 3 million, but then when you look at the detail, I mean, very simply, that it's 1 million for your house, but there's more detail to it than that. So, like, you know, everybody here has relief from an inheritance tax to a certain level on their house. It's the same for farmers. Then the 2 million, it's if there's a husband and wife in the business together. Now, if the wife is not in the business, then that million is not taken, that relief is not given. So it's relief on 2 million relief if you've got two spouses in the business. But when one of them dies, so basically they get through that, they get relief on that, and they've still got a farm and some land, and then the other one dies, then what happens? You know, it still goes back to the 1 million, and it's like they're sort of trying to justify their decision or make it more palatable to the general public. The other thing is that farmers are generally not very good at standing up for themselves, at speaking out, because most of them just want to get on and farm, and they spend hours a day sitting on a tractor out in the field in the middle of nowhere. They don't have that communication with other people. And so it does also give, I think it's something like 1% or 2% of the population who are not farmers have communication with actual farmers. So they don't get the true story and the situation that farmers are in, because the communication is not going across properly. And this is something we need to change and need to get the non-farming community, the urban community, to understand the situation.
Well, the demonstration in London would have helped. How much of a help has that been in awareness, creating more awareness, do you think?
Yes, it will have helped. And to be fair, there are a lot of people now supporting the farmers. A lot of people realise that if we lose our farmers, we lose our food. And there are dreadful things being coming into being in the UK, and I think other countries as well. So insect farmers, because apparently...
Yeah,
we can eat it. We can get protein.
Oh, so they're still heading to insects, are they? Is that they eat the bugs? Was it
eat the bugs? Klaus eat the Schwab. Bugs. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So they're
yes.
going for that. All right.
Yeah, and then the manufactured meat. So instead of actually having proper beef.
So it's not a conspiracy theory, is it? It's not a conspiracy theory. This is actually happening. And if you line up the ducks, you can see exactly what's going on. And it is a war on farming and farmers. There's no other way to frame it, is there?
Yeah, it is happening. I mean, Sainsbury's have been advertising, you know, they've announced their plan to have this artificial meat where you can go in and order, well, I want a 10-pound steak, and they could just make it on a machine.
Well, print it out.
Yeah, something like that. I don't understand the whole mechanics of it. I think they have a cell, and then they can multiply that so that you have a lump of meat, but it's not.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's all wrong.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so there must be some anger, betrayal, despair being felt, and it's being expressed. Do you have any other, is there any other political party, I guess the Reform Party maybe, supporting farmers, or is it like, you know, a revolving door party, everyone's on the same page? Tell us.
Yeah. They're actually, just to finish the conversation about the farmers and the communication with the general public, just to say about that, I keep reading things like, you never see a poor farmer, and they could sell their Range Rover to pay for the inheritance tax, or various comments like that. So, and that really aggravates me, because, so firstly, farmers are the only people who use four-wheel drive vehicles for what they're meant for. So, you know, that's why they have that vehicle. That's the only reason. This misconception that a lot of the public have, and they think farmers are really wealthy, and they're not.
Can I ask you this then, Venetia? Is the politics playing off the people?
Yes.
Playing farmers off against, is that going on?
They're trying to, but I don't think they're actually making as much headway as I hoped they would. Let's put it that way. There is the actual march, the actual demonstration in London last Tuesday, there were a lot of people there who weren't farmers as well. I knew a lot of people who went along and supported who were not farmers. But even there, the main media played down the number of people there. So there were they kept saying there were 10,000 there, but most people were reckoning on between 40 and 60,000 being there.
Yeah.
And I also met that there was an element, shall we say, an element of control going on, in that.
Oh, yeah.
There were some people who were not allowed. The police stopped them from going into the demonstration. I personally met three leaders who came down from Yorkshire on the train and couldn't get in, weren't allowed in by the police. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there. And also rumours of coaches being turned round. I don't know if that's true or not. I've got no evidence of that one. And tractors being turned round. Well, tractors, I think, you know, they said no tractors for this demonstration. The police said no tractors. The organisers said no tractors. And farmers still got on their tractors to come out. That's how angry farmers are. But they were all turned round with threats of, they were going to charge them for obstruction, and they threatened to confiscate the tractor if they actually went further into London. So it was quite not particularly nice way of doing it, but that's what they were doing. Going back to the demonstration, other parties, yes. So funnily enough, is all the main parties are now swinging in behind the farmers about inheritance tax, except obviously for Labour, which I find quite surprising, bearing in mind that the Conservatives put loads of all these other things, policies in place, which have done nothing but damage to farming before. And the actual demonstration, there were various speakers, and we had Kemi Badenoch, the new Conservative leader, talking there, and we had Ed Davies of Liberal Democrats. Nigel Farage was there, but I don't think he spoke. I didn't hear him speak. But It's almost like they're all getting on the bandwagon to go on about inheritance tax, and it's sort of.
But it's bigger than that, though, isn't it? The other thing I wanted to ask you about before we finish the chat is the incentives being offered to switch land from food production to schemes like planting trees and encouraging wildlife. That's happening here.
Yes.
What do you make of those efforts?
Well, yes, that's an interesting. Like in Wales, they're almost forced. I think they're actually forcing them to put so much into wild rewilding and so much into flowers. There are policies to pay farmers to rewild with trees. Now, if you do that, obviously the land's lost permanently. There are other. Another one is rewilding. It's not rewilding. Is growing wild flowers, which sounds crazy. So they plant flower seeds and then they just have to mow it off once a year or whatever. So it's very easy money for farmers. And they have a 3-year contract, and I can't remember how much it is they paid an acre, but it's a hell of a lot more than, well, they can't make money farming, but they can just take this money from the government. We've got just around where I live, 1,000 acres has gone down to growing flowers. Now, I've also got a friend, farming friend, who his family have gave up their farm a few years back. It's gradually got harder and harder for farmers. So farmers are gradually dropping off all the time. The number of farmers is going down constantly. So his was a family farm. And what he's doing at the moment for a living is advising these wealthy guys who come out of London and put their, you know, they invest in land because they, I don't know, that's a fancy living in the country, you know, I call them hobby farmers, but that may be a bit harsh. Some might be genuine. But he's actually put himself out there as advising them on what to do with the land because they don't know how to farm and they don't know what to do with it. And some of them who don't really want to have a real effort at farming properly, like Jeremy Clarkson has been trying to do.
Yeah.
He advises them to put them down to wild flowers because his logic is that at least the land won't be lost permanently because after 3 years they might be able to get the farm back for agricultural purposes for food growing again. But so there's that. There's also I think it's £100,000 that farmers, if they want to retire from farming, older farmers, and there are a lot, I think the average age of a farmer in the UK now is about 65 anyway. And I don't know whether youngsters, you know, whether they've got any chance of carrying on farming at the rate things are going. But anyway, they're actually offering them or offered them £100,000 to retire and sell all their land.
Well, you'd take that probably, wouldn't you? You'd take that. You'd be interested in that. That's a good offer at that time of life.
Well, if you get your money back on your land and the land land values are obviously there's also a rumor doing the rounds at the moment. I don't know how true it is, but there is a rumor that the bigger companies like BlackRock and that are planning to offer £50,000 an acre for farmland, which, you know, some farmers will find hard to resist because, frankly, they're struggling. If it's true.
Yeah, if it's true.
But also, if it's true, it'll put the value of the farmland up, which means that those that hang in there, their inheritance tax bill will be even higher. So either way.
They've closed off all the exits, or trying to anyway, by the sounds of things, ultimately. We've just got a moment or two left. Can you give us any update on the registration of chickens that was required?
That's, I mean, that, just to say about that with farmers, they actually like to, they've got farmers filling in all sorts of forms and that now. They, you know, every cow, every sheep, everything has to be tracked all the time. And the latest move is chicken. And even if you've got one chicken or if you've got one pigeon or one goose, you're supposed to register it with the government. It's that crazy. And when they actually brought this one in, a lot of people actually registered their roast chicken in, you know, as a demonstration against it. And I think Yeah, the site crashed, I think, when they were going there. Yeah, but absolutely crazy. But it's obviously, you know, they just want to know where every animal is in the country, literally every animal, every bird. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine a Monty Python skit where someone comes into the post office and wants to register their goose. I mean, I could, you know, that would have been a good skit. It's been really interesting chatting with you, Venetia Carpenter, farmer in the UK. Thanks for coming on our program, and all the best to you all.
And thank you very much, and thank you for giving me the time to speak.
All right.
Have a good day.
I will try to, and you too. All right, this is RCR on Tuesday morning. I think it's time for some news.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.